We are Two Guys Gaming. As always, even though the intro music says Two Guys Gaming, this is One Guy Reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noobs Book Club. I'm Sean, noob of all trades from Two Generations Gaming. And in this series, I am currently reading and reacting to Frankenstein by Mary Shelley for Brightover Specials. This is part 304. In this part, I will be covering chapters 12 through 20 or something like that. As I mentioned before, because you've probably seen at least one of the adaptations of the book, I'm not going to go through the summary of the book. I'm just going to give my reaction to it. That makes the episodes a little bit shorter, and it gives you something to look forward to when you go to read the book or watch the new movie that's coming out by, what is it, Benicio del Toro? It looks kind of cool. Maybe it'll be as faithful as Young Frankenstein, but more on that in a bit. Okay, with no further introduction, let's get on to part three. This part, as promised, tells us more about the creature and his observation and learning from humans. Initially, as I mentioned, he is childlike and curious, willing to stay in the shadows to study, able to keep out of view, to be a valuable member to the society. Those are probably the wrong verbs. Forced into the shadows, unable to show his face. Okay, time for one of my patented, not exactly, comparisons. Victor rejects the monster because it finds it hideous. If you've never heard this argument from me, stick with it, because I promise there's a payoff. Childbirth is horrific. Don't get me wrong. When they clean the baby off, they're cute, and you have that parental bond. But the actual process of childbirth is disgusting. There's blood and mucus and poop, screaming, crying, sometimes swearing. There's plenty of opportunity to tap out and leave that tiny monster to fend for itself. And yes, some make that choice. That's where the similarity arises. The monster, quote-unquote, grows up with no guidance and has to figure it all out himself. Initially, he does okay with that. He even thrives. Man, that second abandonment by Victor. Even so, shit, the old man, parenthetically monster, soldiered on. I give it to him. He's persistent, or stubborn, or both. In any case, he works up the nerve to introduce himself. It's then that he realizes that Victor's reaction to him more closely mirrors society instead of being an aberration. Rejected, almost wholly, by everyone except for his blind host, he finally relents. If they think me a monster, well, I'll give them the monster that they expect. But first, he wants one final chance at companionship. Make me someone who will understand. Give me a chance at a somewhat normal life. You owe me at least that much. At first, Victor denies him even that request. When the creature threatens him, Victor relents. Through the process, Victor fears what may come from the companion. As a result, he destroys the companion. This drives the creature off the edge, and he promises to be there on Victor's wedding day. Victor believes this to be a threat on his life, and he mourns for his future wife and her loss. I believe that the creature's entire life may have changed with different circumstances. I've already talked about how the betrayal of the doctor cast him into a life of bitter loneliness. But perhaps I give him too much credit / blame. Because when introduced to polite society, he gets rejected there, too. The theme that continues through all of this is the creature's yearning to simply be welcomed and understood. Though he suffers all of this rejection, he never loses his faith that, maybe, there's a place for him. That makes me think that, given a more gentle, involved parental figure, things turn out very differently. I see this a lot as a teacher. The kids who are loved and given attention by the parents turn out more respectful and better students without fail. The main problem these days is the screens. Instead of talking to them, parents often just shove a screen at them. The iPad generation and all that. I never fought against technology, but I can't argue against it any longer. Phones have altered the way that our brains work. If their brains are still growing, that works doubly, parenthetically at least, on kids and teenagers. With no guardrails at all, the metaphorical car flew off the cliff, broke up on the way down, exploded before hitting the ground, shooting shrapnel into a bus full of kittens, nuns, and orphans, killing them all. And now, we have a population that's easily distractible, with almost no attention span, and as a result, not very bright. This is a long game, folks. An uneducated population is one that's easily controlled. Once controlled, you're then unleashed as a fighting force to instill fear in the ones who still stubbornly continue to be educated in the face of this stupidification. The connecting fiber here is the lack of some guiding figure. This leads to antisocial behavior. Since the monster never logged on to social media, he continued to fight against that. Unfortunately, the family that he chooses to make himself known are diametrically opposed to his very being. The DeLaceys represent an exaggerated version of the romantic cliches present at the time. They are poor and rural. In spite, or perhaps due to that, they are good and virtuous. This is inconsistent to the hellscape of the cities. Parenthetically, sound familiar? They endured the suffering and, in fact, add to that suffering by giving things up to save one another. An outcast, an exotic maiden, a family that shows its emotions openly. The creature sees all of this as virtue and morality. He combines this hope from watching them and his own education to take the risk to introduce himself to them. He makes a good choice by picking a blind person first. As Victor recoiled in horror at his appearance, he could perhaps avoid that reaction here. At the very least, he could show what a good person he is, and the beauty within will overshadow the ugly on the outside. However, all of that hope gets crushed under the realization that none of that matters. The rest of the family recoils in horror at his appearance and, in fact, his very existence. He represents all that they believe is wrong about the godless pursuit of science. So, not only is he ugly on the outside, but in spite of his attempts to improve himself and assimilate into their family, they reject him completely. Nothing can improve him to the point where he will be accepted into polite society. And so, he starts to embrace their fear, and that leads him on his start down to the dark side. What do they say? Behind every jaded cynic is a disappointed idealist. When your view of a better life or world is shit on by the shitty people, then you have little choice but to meet their shit with more shit. I said something about it sounding familiar. This is literally where I am right now with everything that is happening. I stupidly believed that we're on the cusp of something greater, and now what? We may still. But now we have to slog through all the BS of current events. Sooner or later, we have to become the monsters that they think we are. An uncomfortable thought, perhaps, but I can't come to any other conclusion. The monster reaches that point with the murder of William. Hurt people, hurt people. The monster realizes that he can take the pain that he feels and turn it outward. By choosing William, he strikes at Victor's heart and soul while still killing a Frankenstein. The murder kills several birds, but those two are the big ones. Killing William ends any remaining hope and innocence for Victor. He will know no peace as long as the monster lives. Then, Justine unjustly, parenthetically irony, pays for the murder. This brings the violence and loss of any semblance of justice to society as a whole. When an innocent person takes the fall for a murder, then how can any of us truly be safe? The folks are being disappeared at midday. How long until that's you and yours? They won't stop until they run out of enemies, and they will only run out of enemies when nobody is left. For our government, that's because they are paranoid psychotics who see enemies everywhere. Similarly, the monster sees enemies too, but they are now only related to Victor and his abandonment. That will all grow as he continues to murder those close to Victor. Others may come to avenge them. They will go to the authorities. The monster too will know no peace. This all ends poorly. I get that's the point, but it's all much more bleak than I ever expected. Maybe that's just because I can make such strong connections to what's happening today. I suppose that once the creature meets his goals, he can go off to live life alone as a hermit. Sort of a Unabomber situation. But Victor may not allow that to happen. Fine, fine. One last Hail Mary. Make me a companion. Give me someone like me, and we can live our lives together. Misery loves company. I'm begging you, man. Give me just this one thing, and I will leave you and society alone for good. The two of us can be happy together. And Victor relents. But then he commits the ultimate act of betrayal. After creating the companion, he then destroys the companion. Like, for real, every single time he's forced with a choice, he picks the wrong damn one. All because of his fear that the new companion may be violent too. But instead of appealing to the good nature of each other, they will instead inspire one another to commit ever more heinous acts. What if they can reproduce? There will be an entire population of these hellish beings unleashed on the world. They could easily defeat humans, and then what? Well, I'll tell you what. Caravans of migrants. Oh, wait. Current events bleeding through again. But seriously, the more people change, the more they stay the same. And we will continue to suffer these ridiculous arguments as long as we allow the mass delusion of religion to perpetuate. As long as you have God on your side, you can't really be wrong, right? But to me, that all feels very, very wrong. And so Victor damns himself and those he loves to endless torment. The monster will take everything from him, leave him a broken husk of a man. So all of his malfeasance comes back to bear upon him in the form of his creation and his biggest mistake. But just as he makes all the wrong choices, he learns all the wrong lessons too. He's just the fucking worst. Word on Young Frankenstein. I mentioned last episode that Young Frankenstein might unironically be the most faithful adaptation of the story. I said that half in jest, but after reading this section, I can't make an argument against it. The blind guy, the drowning girl, monster getting culture. Plus, on top of it all, the monster finds a companion. Yes, some of the details don't match 100%. First, it's a satire. Second, I feel like he wrote the movie as both a love letter to the original story, but also an update. Like, what if the doctor wasn't a complete piece of shit? Maybe more accurately, he learns from his mistakes and grows as a person. Look at my unshakable faith in humanity shining through once again. Yes, even in spite of all the horrors that persist daily, so must I. Otherwise, I may not be able to justify the continuation of this human experiment. I know. Dark. Okay, let's try to focus on the positive and finish this story. We may be down now, but we're not out. We need to organize better. We need to figure out what we're going to do. Whatever it is, it has to be better than what we have. Now they convinced us to work our asses off for a tiny piece of the pie. Man, what a con. We start with shelter, security, and food for all. The rest can wait. And finally, some words about the author. Ellie fully displays her love and talent for the craft of writing in this section. She weaves such a beautiful tale of tragedy that the reader can't help but be moved by it. Natural world, once a source of respite for the monster, becomes a prison as the realization of him as monster takes over. Likewise, the once nourishing fire, parenthetically, and the metaphorical fire of his curiosity, in parenthetical, both burn him as well. He uses that destructive power to burn the cottage and cement his legacy as an agent of chaos and destruction. It also calls back to other stories, find and frame the creature's narrative. The three books both serve as a teacher for him and eventually as a source of torment. Once he realizes his place in the wrong side of society, the books cut him deeply. On a final personal note, I can relate. Parents always wanted me to have the best education. They sacrificed to send me to one of the best high schools in our city. They constantly talked up the benefits of college. While I missed the boat the first time, I eventually returned and successfully completed a bachelor's and a master's degree. Both amazing and allowed me to experience some rare upward mobility and a sense of economic freedom. They also saddled me with the curse of, quote unquote, knowing too much. I've seen the meme that says, quote, I'm jealous of people with no critical thinking skills. You all seem so happy, in parenthetical. Yet a bit dismissive, but also true. When the monster himself realizes that his good deeds, parenthetically, culminating with the drowning girl, in parenthetical, will not make him good in the eyes of the prejudiced, well, all that education gets scuttled. Disappointed idealists and all that. Jesus, what a tragic figure. Why does everything I read lately end in misery? As always, thanks for listening. You can find us if you haven't already yet. www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles, not as many recently. I still have to do the last two articles for my Marvel Zombies deep dive. And then I hope to get to regular articles again starting next month. We have this podcast. I also have some socials. Haven't been as active on the socials lately because things got busy and then I just kind of my brain froze for a little bit, but I'll get back there eventually. Usually pretty good on TikTok. Been okay on YouTubes recently. I'll be back with this series by the end of the week to finish it up before the end of Friday-tober. Talk to you then, I guess.
We are two guys.